Someone from WBAI came to me and said, we would like for you to be on. We have a show about women. Would you be interested in doing something with us? I can't remember whether it was just once a week or whether it was every day. I think we may have started out just once a week, but I enjoyed it so very much. And what continually fascinated me after my 3 years on the show, that many years afterwards I could walk into a store and say something, and someone would say, oh, I remember you from radio. It's very, very interesting. No, I enjoyed it because I interviewed many, many people, and I had no qualms, or I had no hesitation, or I had no anxiety about whether I could fill in the time, because I'm interested in so many things and I'm interested in what people do. So that I would see someone on the street and say, would you be interested in being on my radio show? Or I would hear about something and call the person and say, would you be interested in being on my radio show? Let me tell you the ones I remember. I remember the youngest person who was part of the Scottsboro Boys, the Scottsboro Brothers, as they called them later, thinking that to call those, I think there were 8 or 9 men who were railroaded into a fake charge of raping a white woman. And very near, I don't know whether any of them ever got the chair, but anyway, I can't remember now. I knew my mother went to jail fighting for the release of the Scottsboro Brothers because my neighbor had to take care of me and my brother, but she didn't come home from jail. Well, anyway, the youngest member of the Scottsboro Brothers, Frank Norris, was on my show. I remember him. I remember Anne Arnold Hedgman. I don't know if I've talked to you about her. It was this amazing woman who had been in the mayor's cabinet and had a federal position, had a husband who was a musician, and theirs was the most wonderful love story. Though, even though I met her in her later years, their love was still so strong and palpable. And then I remember a Jewish woman from Israel who did a lot with Palestinian men and women who were assaulted or oppressed by the Israeli government. I had her on. And then I had some children on, and I had Viola Plummer, who the night before, and I don't know how it happened that she came to me, or what I heard about her, but the police came in the middle of the night and broke into her apartment, and her children were terrified. It was so much like what happened to Winnie Mandela when the South African police broke into her home and took her away. And the day afterwards, Viola Plummer was on my show. So I remember that. And then very interesting people, street vendors. I remember they were making the building the World Tower, the one that came down. And I was saying, maybe it was already built, and I was saying they should have it as housing for the homeless. That would be a wonderful way to take care of our homeless. And even when I was away from the station, I was in Africa. I guess I was, I was making a movie in Africa. And I had my tape recorder with me. Oh, I got one. And I talked to the American diplomat who was, she wasn't the ambassador, but she had a high-level position in the United States State Department. And I talked to her about her experiences in the service and how she was affected as a woman and what were the opportunities that she had and the opportunities that she was denied. And I brought that back and played it. So that's just a little taste of what I remember about my radio days. And I also remember that there was a time when I had a late night show and I was off on a Thanksgiving morning, maybe like 3 a.m., and because we were near 34th Street, I was able to see Macy's setting up for the parade. I don't know why I was so fascinated by that, to see all of the balloons before they were, no, they must have been already animated, they must have been already filled. But I was there before the parade started, and they were just getting ready for the parade that was supposed to start maybe at 10 o'clock. And at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, they were getting ready. It was just absolutely fascinating. And of course, it's fascinating to see New York in the early morning. It's another city, a city that's not alive, but a city that is still pulsing with a certain kind of rhythm. And actually, that kind of feeling you get, and I have gotten, in some of the great cities of the world, in Tokyo, for example, in Moscow, in London, in Paris, big cities really never go to sleep.